Amen. If you'll think about that song, I'm going to tell you right now, that thing will get you. The world offers all this stuff. And you can have pleasure for a season. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But I'm glad that what Jesus gives us, amen, will outdo everything that the world's got to offer. Amen. It's a whole lot better than anything the world's got to offer. Plus, it gives you eternity. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I don't want you to sweat tonight, but I got two Christmas messages. Don't freak out. I almost had three. And I honestly, I thought about breaking this down into three separate messages, and I probably could, but this is how the Lord laid it out tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 2. For some of us, this is going to be the first time this year you've read this. For some of us, this is probably the umpteenth time we've read it. Amen. Verse 1. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Let me just stop right there. Probably the only child in Bethlehem that was in a manger that night. Amen. So there was no doubt when they found him which was the right one. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, for the Christmas story, Lord. And Lord, I hope that everybody under the sound of my voice in this building, watching on Facebook, YouTube, whatever, God will just take this and read this multiple times between now and Christmas. God, help us to realize, God, this story, God, is not just a story. God, this is reality. And God, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. Help me tonight, Lord, just to be able to preach this in a way, Lord, that you would be pleased, God. Touch us, and whatever's done, we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, I thought about this the other day, and I jot things down a lot of times, Brother Robert, when I have a thought, you know. And one of the thoughts was, and the Lord might build this into a sermon, I don't know. It was only Christmas in Bethlehem. Think about that. It was only Christmas in Bethlehem. Why was it Christmas in Bethlehem? Because that's where Jesus was. You know, the reality is everybody's not going to have a Merry Christmas. The reality is that everybody is not happy this time of the year. If you study it out, suicide rates between Thanksgiving and Christmas go up. How many realize that? So everybody's not going to, it's easy to get caught up in the preparation, and it's easy to get caught up in the festivities, but you know, we understand, we got to make sure we keep the real meaning of Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas, and his name is Jesus. It's only Christmas if Jesus is there. I watched a little thing the other day about Tim Allen. And Tim Allen was, they got a new series of the Santa Claus movies coming out. And Tim Allen was said, you know, basically pushing. He said, this is a religious holiday. It's about Jesus. And we're going to make sure that Jesus is in this. It is called Christmas. It's Christmas. You can't have Christmas without Jesus. Amen. Oh, you can have a holiday. There's a lot of folks go out and get drunk. There's a lot of folks go out and do some stupid stuff. But you can't have Christmas without Jesus. And it ain't about the decorations. And I love all this. I love this. But it ain't about that. Jesus ain't in a manger no more. Praise the Lord, he was, but he ain't no more. You know, it ain't about Santa Claus, and it ain't about trees. It's all about the one that come and died for you and me. Amen. But I want to look at two messages tonight. Number one, the first message was preached by this heavenly choir that came down. The Bible tells us in verse 10 through 14 that the Bible says that an angel came down and was speaking to him, and then the heavenly host came together. It was a soothing message. Notice what they said, fear not. Fear not. Jesus said, they told him this in Luke chapter 1, verse 13 and 30, and Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. The angel told him, said, fear not, fear not, fear not. You know, if you got Jesus tonight, he removes all fear. That's the only reason that you can get told that you have cancer and you think everything's going to be all right. That's the only reason that you can get told that everything's just falling apart and you just got somehow or another in the back of your mind and way down deep. You know that everything's going to be all right. Amen. They were preaching a message about fear not. Some of us tonight have let fear creep into our minds again. We've let fear creep into our subconscious. I'm telling you right now, if Jesus is in there, glory to God, he tells us to fear not. We ought not have any kind of fear. Hey, if he's still sitting on the throne, and he is, he's got this. I told Preacher Thad on the phone a while ago, I said, you tell Madison we're praying for her, and God's got this, amen. God's got it. Fear not. It was a message that Jesus, that's right, we ought not feel hell. We ought not fear death. We ought not fear Satan. We ought not fear the world. We ought not fear what Washington's doing. We ought to have no fear. Why? Because my God is in control of everything. It was a soothing message. It was a salvation message. Notice what it said. They said, we bring you good tidings. That's news. If you understand what that is, that's news. They had better news than Walter Cronkite. That was the news they were bringing. Great joy to all people. It was universal. Unto you. I'm glad it was a personal message. Amen. They didn't come down to Herod. They didn't come down to the world. They came down to these shepherds right here. This is a personal message. Understand, if you're here tonight, this is a personal message to you. Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Amen. There shall be a Savior born unto you. Aren't you glad that you got the good news? Amen. Aren't you glad that somebody shared the good news with you? Amen. Notice something. There's three things they said about Jesus. They said he's going to be a Savior. That's a deliverer. It pictures him in the sacrifice, a Savior on the cross. They also said that he was Christ. That's the anointed one, the Son of God. It pictures him in the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament. All the things that the Old Testament said about Jesus came true on that night. Amen. The thing about it is they weren't looking for him, Kevin. That's the thing. It was a news not only to them, but to the whole nation. If you go back, I read to you this morning in Isaiah chapter 9, for unto us is born a son is given. A child is born, a son is given. They should have seen it coming. But they didn't. But they said, this is Christ, the anointed one. All the prophecies come together. And then they said, he is Christ the Lord. That's God. Amen. Unto you is born God. That's why they went and worshiped. They didn't just go down to the nursery and find a child and worship. They just didn't bow down to any child. They bowed down to the one that the angel said they would find laying in a manger. That's going to be God. That's going to be the Savior. That's going to be Lord. That's the one we worship. That's why we come here tonight, to worship and honor and lift up Jesus. It was good news. I can't remember who said it, but an old preacher said this. Notice he is called a Savior. He's not an example, and he's not a teacher. He's God. One old preacher put it like this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If our greatest need had been military, God would have sent a soldier. If our greatest need had been justice, God would have sent a judge. But our greatest need was forgiveness and redemption and glory to God. God sent a Savior to save you and to redeem you from your sin. That's who they were worshiping. It was also a showing message. They pointed the way to Jesus. That's what we are supposed to do. Every day of our life, we're supposed to point the way to Jesus. We were coming back from vacation yesterday. We had a long drive, and we stopped. We were still somewhere in Florida. We stopped and was filling up gas, and I walked into the gas station, and I had that shirt on that the Parsons had that said, Jesus loved me to death. I mean, this big old guy, this guy was as tall as Blake and big as Benji. He turned around, David, and Tommy turned around, he said, I like that shirt. He said, I needed that this today. I needed that this morning. Praise God. There's a lost and dying world out there, folks, that want what you got. They're looking for what you got. And Brother Larry, we got it. And we got to present it to them. And the angels pointed the way to Jesus. They didn't beat around the bush. They didn't say, go around the corner. They said, you go to Bethlehem. And you find the manger. That baby laying in the manger, that's Jesus. You and I are to be straight to the point. Tell people about Jesus. They pointed. This is one of the best points about their message that night. It was a shouting message. They were praising God. You know, sometimes we forget about that. We come in and we all hung up on the Christmas stuff, and we're all hung up. Well, I wonder if the preacher's going to preach a Christmas message. It don't matter if the preacher preaches a Christmas message or not. If I'm lifting up Jesus, you ought to be shouting. Amen. Amen. That night, they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Can you imagine what it must have sounded like on that hillside with them shepherds right there? Can you imagine what it looked like? Glory to God with all the angels praising God, a heavenly host. Something they ain't never seen before. My goodness. The second message was preached by those shepherds. Understand this. These shepherds were considered the lowest form of society. Their jobs made them dirty. Their jobs made them stink. Their jobs kept them outside. They did not rub elbows with all the high class. They never went to the palace. Most of the time, if you study this out, Brother David, most of the time, they couldn't even go to the temple because they were out weeks at a time. They never had time to go through the ceremonial process of getting clean and the ceremonial process of being washed and all that. So the thing about it is, they were the lowest part of society. But in Bethlehem, the shepherds were the one that raised the animals that those rich people would come by and buy to go process at the temple. Oh, I want what you got, but I don't want you. If we ain't careful, that's how we are a lot of times. I want what you got, but I don't want you. But they were the lowest forms of society. But understand something. Aren't you glad that's the one they came to? Glory to God. I can identify with that crowd. I can identify with the crowd that nobody else wanted to be around. I can identify with the crowd that wasn't necessarily right with God all the time. I can identify with that crowd, Brother Robert, that didn't look like a Christian. I can identify with that crowd that didn't act like a Christian. Understand something. I ain't always been saved. I ain't always been a preacher. I ain't always on Sunday night had a three-piece suit. I was out there running with a lost and dying world. But glory to God, Jesus came to me. Thank God that Jesus comes. I look around tonight and I see people that ain't always been saved. I know Brother Robert's testimony about singing in the bars and the honky-tonks. I know Brother Larry's testimony about living wild and how he got saved on a rock pile. I know Brother Donald's testimony about some of the things that he's done in the pile. I know a little bit about Dallas. I know a little bit about Brother Johnny. We ain't always been saved. But glory to God, I'm glad that Jesus Christ just didn't come for those in the palace. I'm glad he come for all of us that was lost and on our way to devil's hell, and he saved us. Amen. Amen. Understand something. The message that the shepherds preached that night, for number one, was a message of obedience. They did what they were told. Ain't that a novice idea for Christians? What the old man on TV say? Duh. Somebody said, well, it's hard being a Christian. No, it ain't. Just do what you're told. This ain't rocket science. Just do what you're told. Yeah, but preacher, I can't live it. Ain't none of us can. Just do what you're told. But preacher, you don't understand all the battles I face. You ain't facing no battles that I don't face myself. Just do what you told. 1 John 1, 9 said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means when you fall, get up, keep on going, wipe yourself off. Hey, if God's going to forgive yourself and just keep on keeping on, amen. They did what they were told. They followed the message and found Jesus, amen. I got to think about the woman at the well. What was she said? Come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Just do what you're told. Also, it was a message of opportunity. Spread the word about Jesus. The Bible says, now notice what the Bible says. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went out and told everybody. I don't know how in the world you could keep that a secret. Me and Dallas and David is camping one night. And me and Dallas and David, an angel comes down and appears to us. And then a heavenly host come down and appear to us. And they're singing and shouting, they're praising God and glorifying God. And now we go and find the Savior. How in the world can you not tell somebody? I'm going to tell you right now, I'd have been the biggest blabbermouth in Bethlehem. I'd have been knocking on doors. I'd have been telling everybody, hey, let me tell you what I just saw. Let me tell you what I just heard. Let me tell you what happened to me. And some of us can stand in line at Walmart for 30 minutes and not say a thing about Jesus. They made known abroad this saying. It was a message that the shepherds preached. Also, it was an overwhelming message. These men returned. Now listen, these men returned to their sheep, the same men. We never read in here, Brother Mickey, that God changed them in any way. But when they got back, their circumstances were the same. They're still shepherds. The sheep was still there. Guess what? They probably still stunk. But they had Jesus now. Aren't you glad? Let me tell you something. When I got saved, my looks didn't change. I'll be honest with you, the way I dress didn't change a whole lot. But there was something different on the inside, glory to God. I tell you what did change, my tongue. I quit cussing. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. It didn't take me 20 years to quit cussing. It happened overnight. God took somebody with a filthy mouth. I'm just telling you, I had a filthy mouth. And I'm telling you, I won't never forget it. I went to work the next day. I was in construction. I went to work the next day. I hit my hand with a hammer, and I said a bad word, and I stopped right there. I said, Lord, I did not mean to say that. I didn't care who heard me. I didn't care who was watching me. I said, Lord, I did not mean to say that. And as far as I know, Brother David, until this day, that's the last time that kind of language came out of my mouth. Hey, I was still the same, but I'm telling you right now, there ought to be some things that change in your life. Hey, when you get saved, when you finally meet Jesus, yeah, there ought to be some things. Hey, everything ain't going to change. All your circumstances ain't going to change. But there's some things that's going to change. Because if they don't change, you just met a baby. You didn't meet the one in the manger. But these shepherds changed. They were still outcasts. They were still out there working in the field. While the circumstance didn't change, their hearts had. Glory to God, I'm glad my heart changed one day. How about you? How many of us has had a change of heart? I ain't talking, see, the thing about it is there's a lot of folks. You've heard the story. It's one thing to hear the story. Most of us know the story of Christmas. Most of us know, most of us could tell the story of Christmas. We've heard it for years and years and years. Me and Brother Larry was talking before church. You know, I've been here 22 years, so you've heard me preach about Christmas for 22 years. We see the story on TV. We've seen the movies. But there's a big difference in knowing the story and knowing Jesus. There's a big difference in knowing how the story goes and knowing how he wants you to live. There's a big difference in knowing what all the characters in the nativity scene and having a relationship with the one that was born in that manger. See, if you're not living it every day, listen to me now. If you're not living it every day, you ain't saved. These angels preached a message. The shepherds preached a message. You and I are to live it. I believe when these shepherds went back to their flocks, they were changed people. You can't come in contact with Jesus and not be changed. Amen. I want you to bow your head with me.